down. Next Sunday morning will be their last service, and then they'll be able to fly home and have a few weeks before they come back for the fall semester. And they have, I think, been in 36 states. This particular group has, 35 or 36. And so they've enjoyed meeting Christians all over our country. And you said, why would you go to 36 states in one summer? Well, first of all, I didn't do it. I just met with them last Monday, and I get to drive them home. But really, the goal is simple. We just want to tell people Jesus has one prayer request. He asked us to pray for laborers. And we just want to go around to every church we can get into and challenge people to consider giving their life to serve the Lord. Mormons will give 2 years of their life. And we want Christians to be willing to do the same and give much more than that. And so tonight, after the service, we'll be back in the back. There's a table back there. There's books. There's resources. There's CDs. There's information. And we just love to meet you. One of the favorite parts of going to different churches is just meeting Christians that you wouldn't meet any other way. And we may not see each other again until we get to heaven. But sure to enjoy the time to fellowship while we get that opportunity. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. The book of Romans is one of my favorite books in the New Testament. It's a book I get to teach. I have the privilege to teach while they're at college. They're in Lancaster, California. Ironically, it was not one of my favorite classes when I was in college, but it has become one of my favorite books to teach throughout the years. And I specifically like Romans chapter number 6. Often when we think about getting saved, we think about justification. We think about the fact that we have been saved from the penalty of sin. But God's plan doesn't stop there. And in Romans chapter number 6, he wants to teach us about sanctification. And the grace that was available to save us is the grace that is available to change us from the inside out. And so as we come to Romans chapter number 6, we'll read a few verses. I have a word of prayer, and then we're going to walk through the rest of this chapter over the next 20 minutes or so. So Romans chapter number 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Here's a simple answer. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not. Don't you know, like you should know this, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we're buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, Paul's about to give us a very important principle. Our old man is crucified with Christ. That old man was crucified. In Romans chapter number 5, Jesus died for me. In Romans chapter number 6, I die with him. My old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, from this moment on, we should not serve sin. True statement, everybody serves something or someone. The question isn't whether or not we will serve, the question is who or what will we serve? Romans chapter 6 gives us the secret so that we're not in bondage to serving sin, but so that we have freedom to serve Christ. And so with that in mind, let's pray and ask the Lord to help us understand these truths. Lord, thank you for a great opportunity tonight to be with these people on their Sunday night service, to fellowship with them, to spend some time together, to minister in song. And now, Lord, as the Word of God is open, would you challenge us? Would you help us to take away truth tonight that would help us to be more like Christ, that we would not just celebrate our justification, but we would understand your work of sanctification in our life at this moment. And Lord, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul says that God's grace is available to all of us. It's grace that is greater than all of our sin. In fact, in the previous chapter, Paul said that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. There's never been a problem with the idea of how much grace God has. God has plenty of grace available. That's never been an issue. The issue is whether or not we'll avail ourselves of it. And so as we think about God's grace tonight, I want to share four principles. They're not difficult. In fact, I don't think you're going to go, wow, I've never heard that before. Sometimes I find it's good to be reminded of things that we should already know. And so tonight, here's principle number one. Because of God's grace, I yield. So where do you see that? Well, later as Paul goes in this chapter, verse number 6, he says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified, the body of sin is destroyed. Then verse 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over us. He says this in verse 11. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ. Let not sin reign in your mortal body. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness, but yield yourselves unto God. My wife and I, we have 5 children. We have actually 5 daughters. And so for a period of time, I had a 12-passenger van. And the goal was that we could take all of our children and we could take all of their friends and we could always have one vehicle and we could always get, we'd pick my parents up from the airport, we'd all fit, and pick my in-laws up from the airport, we'd all fit. And so this little guy and my wife, who's smaller than I am, would be driving a 12-passenger van. I am not a big guy, but it's a big car. Here's the danger of driving big cars. You start to believe that the yield signs do not apply to you. The yield signs are for the smaller cars. Now, in my nature, truth be told, in your nature, it's not natural to yield. We don't want to yield. I remember as a kid, we'd play that game Mercy where you'd lock the fingers and your goal would be to squeeze or twist or pull the wrist back and try to get the other person to submit or to yield. And tears would be coming down my eyes and down my face. And they would say, do you yield? And I'd say, no, I can take it. And Mike, I'm afraid I'm going to break your wrist. You'll have to break it. I will not quit. I just didn't want to yield. In our flesh and the way that we're wired, in our human nature, yielding is not natural. But when God's grace is at work in our lives, we begin to yield. And here's what he says. It's a choice of what we're going to yield to. He says in verse 13, don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness, but yield your members as instruments of righteousness. That word instrument's an interesting word. It's not talking about a musical instrument. It's actually talking about an instrument of war. The idea is something like a weapon. I grew up watching Andy Griffith, so I'm gonna date myself a little bit. And my kids, as they were growing up, thought that everything that came on TV was black and white. They didn't realize that there was a such thing as color because it was all Andy Griffith or something in that generation. And so one day they saw at a friend's house something in color. They said, Dad, their TV looks different than ours. I said, shh, don't ask me. They're probably not right with God or something like that. Bless their heart or something like that. And so growing up, one of my heroes was Barney Fife. And I sort of had the same frame as Barney. And often in the show, Barney would say something like this: I make my whole body a weapon. And when he'd say that, everybody sort of laugh at him. And if I would say that to you out on the street, I make my whole body a weapon, you'd look at me and say, yeah, okay, Mike, you have issues. But biblically speaking, that is theologically correct. We are to yield our members, our bodies, into the hand of Jesus Christ to be a weapon for his righteousness. God wants to use us as his instruments, his weapon of choice for his righteousness. But he only does that if we yield to him. And we only yield to him as we respond to his grace. So Paul says, principle number 1, because of grace I yield. I want you to see a second principle. Because I yield, I'm free. Look at verse 16. Know ye not. You see that verse often, that little phrase, knowing and reckoning. It's throughout this chapter. He says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked, you were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin. How were you made free from sin? God's grace began to work, and you yielded. And as you yielded, you found a sense of freedom. It's a paradox. We think the way to have freedom is we get to call the shots, and we get to do our own thing. I've already got a plan for my life. It's growing up around college work for the last 25 years, I know in the early days I used to ask this question: hey, what are you going to do with your life? And I found when I'd ask that, most people had a plan. few years ago, I began to reevaluate that question, and some of the guys on our staff were reevaluating that question. And the question was now, what does God want to do with your life? If you would have asked me when I was 17 or 18 years old, what are you going to do with your life? I had it planned out. I was going to go to Georgia Tech. I was going to study civil engineering. I was going to go work at the firm my uncle was a vice president of. I was going to help design Home Depots and Chick-fil-A's because I feel like those have the power of God resting on them. And then I was going to make a lot of money. And then I was going to support my family and support my dad, who's a bivocational pastor. And I was going to say, Dad, I'm going to make all this money, and I'll take care of you guys, and I'll have plenty left over for me. That was my plan. So when I graduated from high school, I didn't go to college because that wasn't in the plan right away to go. I didn't go to Bible college. It wasn't in the plan. I took some classes here and there to get ready for and to raise money for my tenure at Georgia Tech. And then a chance meeting, going back to watch my sister play in a high school basketball game, one of the teachers came by and says, Mike, are you enrolled full-time in college? Nope. Saving my money. Have you thought about Bible college? Nope, not really. Mike, there's a college starting just a few hours from here. My dad is helping get it started. You ought to look at it. And so I said the spiritual answer, I'll pray about it. That's the wrong answer. Because the moment I said that, I knew I didn't have to pray about it. I should at least inspect it. And as my parents drove me up there and we looked at this campus, God began to do a work in my parents' hearts. I think before he did a work in my heart, and my parents were like, we are leaving you here. And in my second year, I went back, and everybody was there because we're a close-knit family. If you put a pin on the map where my grandparents lived and draw a radius of 20 miles, my whole family lives there. Aunts, uncles, cousins, unless they've been shipped to prisons and other places, because a lot of my uncles were in prison. But if they weren't shipped off somewhere in that 20-mile radius, that's where we were. And so when I went away 3 hours to Bible college, they thought that I might as well be going to the mission field. The second year I went back, and my dad's talking to the president of the college, and we don't know what he's talking about. And so he comes back out, and he says, I got some good news, Mike. All right, Dad, what's the good news? You won't be here by yourself this summer or this semester. Great. Well, who's coming with me? Then he looked at my sister. Great news. They've just accepted you. She said, I didn't even apply. They've accepted you. They want you, and it's God's will, and we'll send your stuff to you later. And so we were both in Bible college, and that was sort of the way it worked. But here's what I found. When I yielded my plans to the Lord, I found a sense of freedom that came from that because I was doing what he called me to do. I can't explain that. It doesn't make sense on paper because to explain that to someone who's not spiritual, they think, why don't you just go do what you want to do? Here's what happens when I surrender to the Lord and he changes my heart. I really am doing what I want to do. It just happens to be what he wants me to do because God's grace is at work in our lives. So because of grace, I yield. Because I yield, I'm free. Here's the third principle. Because I'm free, I serve. Back in verse 18, being then made free from sin, here's the paradox. Being made free, you became the servants of righteousness. Everybody serves. But Jesus is a great master. Serving self, that's a lousy master. Serving the devil, a lousy master. Serving Jesus Christ, there's freedom in serving him. So I want to serve Jesus with my life. How do I do that? First of all, you have to respond to his grace working in your life, and you begin to yield. You begin to submit. You begin to give over control of your life. It's not just saying, Jesus, you're in the car with me. Jesus, you've got the wheel, and I'm going wherever you steer this. And then as we begin to yield, there's a sense of freedom that comes with that because we know we're where God wants us to be, and then when we're free in that position, we serve not out of a heart of guilt, not because it's expected, not because the preacher stood up here and said, got a lot of projects to do. Somebody please help me, and I hope you will. But the motives begin to say, what can I do for Jesus? Jesus has done so much for me, and God's grace is working in my life. I'm free to just serve him. Look at verse 18. Being then made free, I serve. Verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because the infirmity of your flesh. As you've yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. When you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. So what fruit had you then in those things whereof you're now ashamed? The answer is you didn't have anything that lasted. The end of those things is death. So because of grace, I yield. Because I yield, I'm free. Because I'm free, I serve. And here's the fourth and final principle. Because I serve, I bear fruit. My wife and I, about 11 months ago, moved out of a house we had lived in for about 15 or 16 years or so. And we just moved to another house in a little bit of a different county. In my old house, I had something in the backyard that connected me to my Georgia roots. I had peach trees. And we would grow peaches back there. And I would have peach ice cream and peach crisp and peach cobbler and peach fights. So we just throw peaches here and there. And we just had all kind of peaches, homemade ice cream, all this stuff. I expected that peach tree to bear fruit. I just expected it. It wasn't abnormal for it to bear fruit. In fact, it would have been abnormal if it didn't bear fruit. And those trees in their prime were producing about 100, 120 peaches a year, and we'd have to give some away. We couldn't eat them all, but it was just producing fruit. Why? Because it was healthy. I didn't try to teach that peach tree how to bear fruit. We didn't have a class on here's how you bear fruit. There wasn't a power of positive thinking. I took a mirror out to the peach tree and say, repeat after me, I think I can. It wasn't that. I just focused on the health of the tree, and when the tree was healthy, it produced fruit. Healthy Christians bear fruit. Healthy Christians are the ones who are responding to God's grace. They don't just respond at salvation to God's grace. They understand God's sanctifying grace as well. That's changing them from the inside out. And that grace on the inside begins to change their desires. And they begin to say, God, I didn't think that's what I wanted, but now I see that is what I wanted. I'm going to yield to you. Wow, there's such a sense of freedom that comes when I make that decision. Lord, now the motives of why I serve you is different. I'm serving you because I want to, because I love you, because of what your grace has done in my life, and I'm so excited to serve you. Oh, Lord, as I'm serving you, look what's happening. You're allowing me to bear fruit. Because I serve, I bear fruit. Verse 21, what fruit did you have in those things wherever you're now ashamed? In the past, when you were servants to sin, what fruit did you have? You didn't have any. Verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness. You have the fruit of a sanctified life. You have the fruit of a Christian that's responding to God's grace, and you have this fruit that you're bearing and the end, everlasting life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sometimes immature believers will use God's grace as an excuse or a license to live a life that's not pleasing to him. Oh, I'm just under grace. When you read Romans 6, God's grace doesn't lower the standard of holiness. It raises it. Amen. God's grace raises the standard of holiness and fruit bearing. But remember how it all started? It didn't start with Paul saying, I want you right now to make a decision to bear fruit. That's not how he started. He said, I want you to make a decision to respond to God's grace. And as God's grace begins to work in you, just yield. Just yield him control. Another way to say that, be filled with the Spirit. And as you're yielding control to him, you'll find there's a sense of freedom. And as you see that sense of freedom, you'll just want to serve greater. And you'll find as you look at that new motive for serving, there's fruit that isn't just temporary. It's fruit that lasts. So in the summer months, and as you think about the busy season, you think about all the things that are going on, sometimes it's just good to stop back and remind ourselves, God's grace is still at work. And if we'll yield to that grace, God has great plans for our life because he wants to make you and me a weapon of righteousness. Let's be arrows in his hand. Lord, some simple thoughts from Romans 6. Nothing brand new, things we've heard before, no doubt. And yet a reminder that sometimes if we're not careful, we get out in front of you. Sometimes if we're not careful, we have our own plans. Sometimes we forget to ask what's your will in the matter. Help us, Lord, to remember that we need to always be motivated by your grace. Help us, Lord, to remember to yield to you, to have that sense of freedom to serve you with pure motives. And help us bear fruit that would last with eternal value. And I pray you'd use us as your choice weapons for your righteous deeds here on this earth. We'll thank you for it. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Pastor Hayden, I'll have you come and conclude the service.